Good evening. This is Miguel Marie, your host. You're listening to Urban Conversation Radio. Hopefully everybody has had a good weekend. I think I'm a little mellow right now, but still I'm pretty good. I actually see that my co-host has not connected just yet, so we're going to give him a couple more minutes to see if he gets on board and gets calling in. At any rate, this is our Freestyle Sunday, or Sunday Freestyle, however you want to put it. And this means that there are no set topics. You are welcome to call in and voice any opinion that you have about anything that's been going on in the media lately, even anything that's been going on in your life, relationships, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk about a plethora of things on tonight. There's so many. I'm still trying to get my co-host. I see some other callers, but not my co-host just yet. Give him a second to come to get in so that we can get this started. I don't want to start before him. At any rate, there's a lot of things that have been going on in the media, and I'm going to say this, and I'll probably repeat myself, you know, you have to be really, really careful about what you believe as far as how the media edits and puts things out there. And you've learned that over time that, you know, there can be some personal agendas, and there are, when different stories and headlines are in the news, so just definitely be careful with that. Before we get into all of the hot topics and so forth, I want to put this question out, and I know that a lot of the listeners are a little gun shy when it comes to getting involved on our open topics. On our Facebook page, which you can find as Urban Conversation Radio, but I want to put this question out there, and this is to deal with relationships. Have you ever dealt with someone who does things for you for the sole purpose to be able to blow it back in your face? I want to open that debate, but let's get my late co-host Manuel Hill in. he is so late, but how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right this evening.
I'm doing pretty good. I was trying to just yap before we got in on the topic, so I'm sure I was babbling. Are you drinking tonight? Do we have any?
Listen, I'm gonna stop letting everybody know whether or not I am or am not drinking on the air. But I am enjoying. I'm enjoying an evening cocktail, you know, to say the least. You know, I am. You know, just relaxing.
No, I am. I'm all for it. So you give me good ideas for, you know, mixed drinks. So, but yeah, I was saying that I'm in a pretty mellow mood right now, even though I have not drank anything. But how was your weekend?
Not bad at all. It was a good weekend. Relaxing. My son turned 15 this weekend, so you know it's 15 years, and I'm proud of him. He's a good kid, really. I mean, at this age and this stage, he hasn't been in half of the trouble I've been in, and has done a lot better with school and with respect to his parents and everything else. Really, really good.
I'm gonna sing him happy birthday. What's his name?
Corey Hill. Oh God.
Okay, so hold on. If you let him listen, this is for him. I'm gonna do it real quick. Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Corey. and that was absolutely no warm up, so I don't need anybody calling.
I know, you just got it like that.
So Anyway, thank you. But make sure you tell him happy birthday. 15 is actually a good year. That's a good age. I like 15.
Absolutely, absolutely. And other than that, I mean, it's been a relaxing weekend. Movies, you know, I went to see the new Avengers movie. I'm kind of like you a little bit, and you're going to appreciate this for Gail.
Okay.
I'm not going to jump into the action and all that of the movie. We know the action. We know the, you know, the Marvel, the comics, you know, the superheroes. We know all that. But
right.
James Spader played a ridiculous, I mean, he's just a ridiculous actor anyway. He's really, really good, really underrated.
Yeah.
But he played, like, the ultimate supervillain. And from the mannerisms of the villain through all the CGI and the graphics and everything, you could easily tell it was him. Just, I mean, and that was ridiculous. I found that to be very impressive about it. But we had a good time. We enjoyed the movie.
He really is. He is a good actor. He not only
very
does family,
good, like
also,
just,
yeah.
I mean,
he does
funny
as well.
He embodies everything in one mold. I'm talking about he could be charismatic, funny, evil, motivational, all in literally one snap of about 10 seconds, and you can see all that, and you could see it in that movie and in that role that he played. It's really fun. And we.
I want to go. Yeah, and I'm gonna go check it out. And for people who don't know who he is, he does The Blacklist. He was in that television show.
Which is
one of the coolest shows. So he's in that. But yeah, so okay, before we get into all of our whatever we're gonna talk about, of course we know there's so many things going on in the news today. One of the big ones, of course, is Freddie Gray, everything that's going on around that case in Baltimore, the protests, some of the unkind edits that the media has put out, a lot of controversy that's surrounding that whole entire situation. But I definitely want to give props, though, to Marilyn Mosby, or how do you say her last name? I know you've
Marilyn
seen her. She's a state attorney. Yeah. Well, I know that you guys have been following it because she stood up and it took a lot of chutzpah for her to formally charge the six officers that were involved in Freddie Gray's death. And so I just wanted to definitely give her props because she's a African-American woman, and I believe she was, when she was appointed, she was the youngest state attorney. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to give her a round of applause because she stood up, and she's got a lot of negativity that's been coming her way because of that. She also has, of course, a lot of praise from the community and so forth, but she's got a lot of backlash. So what are your thoughts on the six officers at least being formally charged? They haven't been, you know, found guilty of anything, but they have been found, you know, they have been charged formally. What do you think?
It's a step in the right direction because at least now we're getting to that point where charges are being brought more expeditiously than we've seen over the last, you know, couple of years with similar cases, you know. So, because, you know, typically we see a lot of times when things like this happen, the community is waiting and waiting and waiting for a charge to be brought on. And this seems to come about a lot swifter than in other cases where we've had similar end results, you know, where a young black man has died at the hands of authority or somebody who appeared to be in authority. So that's a step in the right direction. Now, of course, we do know that there has to be a trial, there has to be evidence presented, everything has to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. However, you know, at least we got to the point where the charges were brought rather swiftly as opposed to taking, you know, a month, 2-3 months, you know, because we know sometimes even that process can be drawn out, which is just infuriating in and of itself. So I'm glad to see that. That's a really good step. That's really a step in the right direction.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking because, you know, before it charges, like you say, I mean, it's a big step to even have the officers charged. because oftentimes it's thrown out right at the initial, you know, investigation of it. So, but here's what I didn't know. I didn't realize that, not that it means anything. I just didn't realize that there was one of the officers is a black woman, and the charges that they have. Yeah. There's like a couple. There's like three black people on this six officer team. I'm not sure. But so the charges range from manslaughter to false imprisonment. And I thought that was interesting because come to find out, they were claiming that he had a knife and, you know, da-da-da-da. But they released information saying that although he did have a knife, the knife was closed and it was legal for him to have. It was in his pocket. So it wasn't like he was wielding this. And so their reason for the false imprisonment is because they weren't the officers didn't have any reason to stop him in the first place, which is interesting to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
I mean, like I said, I think everybody's hoping for fairness. I mean, this is it's to a point where I don't believe in coincidence. I really don't. I don't believe in coincidence. I mean, maybe one time, but when we constantly have, and I think even, you know, our fellow white Americans, European Americans, Caucasian Americans, however, they're starting to see why the frustration is what it is. Even a group of friends of mine, and we discuss these things constantly, and we kind of have our own private discussions, and we've worked together for years, and it's four black men, four white men. And we talk social issues, sports, hip. I mean, we talk everything. But even in this recent climate, in bringing up the subject matter, we just couldn't even. We almost were at a point where we were just like, wow, again. And one of my white counterparts, he even said that the system is just broken. I mean, he even would say it, something's wrong. And so people are starting to notice on all sides. You know, it's no longer becoming just a plain black and white issue. It's becoming something where people are paying attention to the system more so than anything else. And when you see that the group of police officers weren't all white, that's when
exactly.
It's something systematic. There's something wrong. You know, there's something that needs to be checked. The one idea that, you know, is being posed that I think should obviously be, you know, put into play is, you know, police officers need to wear cameras. If they're wearing, just think about it. And me and you know this. Anybody knows when you're under surveillance or when you know that your actions are being recorded, you conduct yourself differently. You simply do. You know, you conduct yourself by the book. So I think that's one of the things that now we're seeing constantly after all these incidences are taking place. That eventually, that's just going to become required. It's not even going to be up for discussion. And I'm hoping that's what they do.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, it definitely it's revealing a lot. All of these cases that have been playing out in the media is showing you some good stuff and it's showing you some bad stuff. You know, the condition of our society and that a lot of things have never changed, although a lot of black people, you know, wanted to believe that it did. Racism is definitely very much alive and well and thriving. And, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see, even as this next generation, you said your son just turned 15, this next generation coming up, you know, and the things that they
Absolutely.
Have to face, it's going to be interesting to see how this turns. I've also, you know, I followed, you know, a few different threads that, you know, debate this topic, and some of the stuff that, you know, the level of hatred, wow, that still exists is sobering. You know, so
it is. It lets you know that. I mean, and some people are seeing now. Of course, I tend to still believe. You know, I still do have a degree of faith in humanity. I promise I do. I do still think that the percentages of people who harbor that hate and everything else, it's minimal. You know, I don't believe that there's this 30% of society that's totally corrupt. I still believe we're in the less than 5% of people that are actually absolutely down to their core that there's something wrong. However, I do believe there may be, you know, a percentage of a generation that still needs to be taught, that they still have a level of ignorance as to, you know, black people, white people, other races in general. I don't think it's just a matter of people just downright hating, because the energy that it takes to hate a group of people, to hate anybody, to hate anything, the energy that that takes is insurmountable.
Yeah.
Like, it takes so much to hate. So typically, you know, when I look at it through that scope, and I'm thinking, you know, can there be, you know, are all white people this way? It's impossible. That's not possible. But
oh,
there
I
is
definitely,
a condition.
Yeah.
But there is
yeah.
a condition. There is a condition where people are ignorant, they don't know any better, and they're reacting based off of pure ignorance, you know, not even all at their fault. So, you know, but hopefully,
yeah.
you know, this changes.
And
I
definitely know that all, you know, white people aren't, you know, racist. It's like all black people aren't crazy. So
exactly. We ain't all drinking on a Sunday night. Some of us actually got some
right.
sense, right, Legale?
Right, some of us. But we, you know, but it's so deeply ingrained in the system and in so many aspects of our society that it's going to, I don't know, you know, when you have something so deeply rooted, it's going to take a lot. But anyway, moving off of that, because that, you know, we could go on and on about that all night. Definitely, before you came on, I had posed a question. And I'm actually going to put it on our open forum page on Facebook, Urban Conversation Radio. And I asked the question, have you ever dealt with someone or been in a relationship with someone who did things for you only to throw them back in your face, you know, in the heat, you know, in the heat of the moment or arguments or so forth? Have you? Don't answer that yet. So that was the question that I have posed before you came on. I want definitely want to have some answers. But here's the thing. Okay, this is the last one I want to ask you about, because I'm not into boxing. I could care less. I don't even know how to pronounce this guy's name. But so the whole thing with Manny and Floyd Mayweather, and what is it, Manny Pikachu? I don't know. What is the last name?
No, Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather.
Stop it. I don't even know his last name.
Mayweather and Pacquiao.
I said his first name right, Manny and Floyd. So
I
said that right off. I just don't know the last. I'm not into to the boxing thing. But it was funny because of, you know, obviously Mayweather won. And it's just funny to see how many people turn into boxing experts, like all these.
Oh, my God. Oh, listen. And look, and this is what you're going to – first of all, I didn't watch the fight. And I did not watch the fight because I had a minimum interest in the fight anyway. But we all know that any major sporting event is not just a sporting event. It is also a social event. So I didn't feel like doing the scene this weekend. However, all of the people that were disappointed in what? That Floyd fought the same fight that he's fought the last decade. This is the way he fought.
Right.
So there was a lot of disappointment based on the way. But the thing that, there's two kind of people in any sort of dispute. There are your people who just go for broke. They just throw everything out the window. They give you the whole kitchen sink. And then there are people who are meticulous. They're tacticians. They're disciplined. And those people tend to be boring. And that's what Mayweather is. He's meticulous. He's a tactician. And if you're watching him, you're bored, but you realize he's playing the percentages. He's playing the numbers game, and it's boring and it's annoying. But at the end of the day, it's going to win. And so if anybody got disappointed, well, you disappointed yourself. You let the hype surrounding something that had been or something that we've been waiting on for so long, you let that hype lead you to believe that the dynamic of the actual fight itself were going to be different. They said it was going to be historic, and they didn't mean historic as far as one of the best matches or the best boxing matches or brawls ever. They meant historic as for the money that it was going to bring in, as for the press that it was going to, as the buzz. That's what's historic about it. Nothing about
yeah.
the bout physically going. And so I think people that were disappointed were people that were a little less familiar with Mayweather. And those who were familiar with Mayweather, they left saying, you know what, what more can we expect? Meanwhile, I spend more time just chilling by myself. I watched the Spurs and the Clippers basket Game 7, which was actually more impressive than the fight, based on what I've heard and based on anybody who watched the sporting events, you know. But yeah, I didn't get it.
Yeah, I was able to. People were live streaming the clips of it, so I caught a few clips. But like I said, I really didn't care. And so anyway, moving on.
back to subject matter. Go ahead.
It's an excessive, sport, and the money that is acquired doing it is excessive, in my opinion, as well. So anyway, I'm sure people are like, all the boxing fans are going, boo, but so what? When you think about the condition of so many of our neighborhoods and so forth, it 400 million. How much was acquired from this fight? Do you know, as far as?
Oh my God!
Yeah.
You know what? I don't even billions easily and millions and what Floyd Mayweather got, 400 million. I don't know what the number was. I think he cleared four and Manny cleared two. Either way, I mean, it was a lot of money.
And this is the thing
that people, if they're not paying attention to, Floyd is no longer going to be under contract with Showtime, either after his next fight or his last fight. But there's a fight where he's no longer going to be employed or under contract with Showtime. Basically, he will not only be being paid by all the people who are paying to watch it and the people who are paying for tickets and everything. The networks will have to bid. When networks have to bid, it changes the game.
Crazy.
I mean, look at what the NFL is. The NFL is what they are because of television rights. Because every network is bidding for the NFL, and it's who's going to pay the most money. That's what it
yeah.
is. So,
and they will pay.
They will pay.
Yeah,
somebody's
going
to outbid the next person. So the money generated. You know what? This is one thing that's always been certain. And this is no matter what depression era we're in, no matter what we're going through economically, people will spend money on entertainment. Period.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's
nothing wrong with that. People need an outlet. It's just when you look at what's accumulated, when you look at the big picture, it's, oh my goodness, it's a ridiculous amount of money. But all right, listen, this is something that happened, and I want your opinion on this. Then we're gonna go back to that question. The whole social media thing, Facebook, we all love it. It's a good way to, if you're in business and so forth, like I do my plays and it's good for, publicity, pushing, different stuff that you're doing. It's also good to connect with your friends, your family, to meet new people if you are a part of, any of the groups and so forth. So here's a situation that happened, and I want to know, What is, because I don't think I have the whole online etiquette down, because I pretty much communicate the same way whether I'm typing it or whether I'm verbalizing it. So I don't laugh behind everything that I say, and therefore when I make comments, I don't put the LOL and so forth.
Yeah,
but so here's the thing. There was a particular thread, and someone asked me a question. They tagged me and asked me a question. And I didn't get it right away. When I got back on later on, I saw the tag. And so I answered the question. I didn't put any LOLs, but I just pretty much just answered the question. Nothing negative, nothing crazy. The next thing I know was like two comments from this person responding in a way that you would have thought that I had cursed him out or something. they're like, I was just asking, and I'm like, okay, I just answered. And then there was this whole, inbox exchange, and they apologized, and I'm like, there's nothing to apologize for. I'm not tripping. I just answered your question. And so then there, you know how we love the subliminal posts that people make. You know what I'm talking about. And so after I'm thinking this whole thing is squashed, there were a couple of, subliminal posts that were made after that, that was talking about that very situation. So my thing is, do you have to, I mean, if you're dealing with adults, and I guess this is where I fall, is because I assume that if you're over a certain age that you have acquired a certain level of maturity, but I'm finding that the way that we interact offline, I guess, is different than how you're supposed to interact online. Like, I guess when I answered the question, I should have put LOL, even though there was nothing humorous in what I said. I'm confused about it. I need you to give me some insight because it's a little weird to me.
You know what? You make a very good point, and you simplify it by saying, "Do I have to put LOL after?" Sometimes it is just that simple. Somebody has to put
It
LOL after or before they say something to let somebody know that it's a little bit light in nature. It's not meant to be taken wholeheartedly. Or sometimes you have to preface a comment. I prefer to preface a comment. If I have something that I know that's going to be incendiary, I will preface that statement with, okay, this is my position or this is the way I feel, but let me make this point. And if I'm talking to someone directly or I'm responding directly to a person's comment or question, I usually tag the person and I state my, but it's so difficult because no matter how many times you're able to articulate and reach and not create a ruckus amongst people, somebody is going to get their feelings hurt. It's
Oh
impossible
yeah,
that
but
somebody will take something out of.
the thing of it is, it was so much minute than that. It was so simple. It was like basically like, and this is not exaggerating. If I asked you, okay, so what color is this picture? And let's say it's a blue picture, whatever. It was one of those simple. It's nothing deep. It was no debate. It wasn't like an, it wasn't like an exchange going on. It was just so when, it just kind of it for one, it rubbed me the wrong way because when I'm, when I'm thinking, you say you drop it or something is dropped, drop it. Don't go on other posts and, all this craziness.
Yeah,
So
I agree. I agree.
yeah. And people that know me, outside of just seeing my presence online, people that actually interact with me, they know that I don't play that. That's but I wanted to kind of really go in on the person just from the perspective of, let's just stop, don't be ridiculous. You're being crazy. But I left it alone. So we'll, but I just wanted to see what the take was. Again, those that are called in listening, I don't know who's calling in to ask a question. But if you have not joined us on our open forum page on Facebook, please do so. You can also inbox me or Manuel Hill and let us know if you have questions. If you want to pose a question and you don't necessarily want to come on air, you can inbox us your questions or you can leave your questions on the open forum page and we will address them. All right. So, Manuel, this is what I wanted to ask you because we haven't talked about this in a while. What is going on with your dating life?
My dating life is I will say this, I'm dating.
Okay.
That's what I'll say. But see, this is the biggest thing. I'm transitioning from one time zone. In a month from now, I'll be living in Dallas. So,
Right.
there's nothing that I plan on taking with me from Atlanta. I mean, so I'm basically getting a fresh start,
Ooh.
To say the least. I'm basically getting a fresh start. So,
I hope those women, I hope they're not, do they already know that? So you
what,
basically
whatever. Whatever.
So to those women that Manuel is dating, he's basically telling you once he's gone, that's it.
No,
don't be trying to get frequent flyer miles to Dallas. Stay yo behind it.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that. Absolutely not. No, I'm moving, and then of course, you know, it's a new city, new people, new friends. You know, I got a few family members there, and then add to that, you know, when I first get there, I do get immersed in my work a little bit. You know, I'll spend the first couple of months totally getting my job down packed, totally getting familiar with the area and everything I'm supposed to be doing, and then I'll be able to concentrate on that aspect of like dating and getting back in the game. But so right now I'm just, you know, I'll be transitioning. I always come with this question, what's going on in my dating life, and I'm kind of like, yeah.
Well,
but, you know, I gotta answer that question and at least make it clear that, hey, I'm living in Atlanta, so I need to make sure I'm clear in the fact that, yes, I love the women folk. But right now, I'm very much about business and transitioning, and I'm getting ready to move. You know, I'm still making sure I got a actual residence, still looking at homes and everything else like that. So it's been a really busy time right now, folks.
Well, that's understandable. You know, that's, your head is in the right place. Anyway.
Look at you.
Some of you guys are so slow. Anyway, no, that's good though. So, are you excited about the move to Dallas? Are you excited? Are you kind of just, it's work, you got to do it? Or are you actually excited about the move?
Oh no, I'm absolutely excited. That's the one thing, you know. I mean, for those that don't know, I'm in the military, member of the U.S. Coast Guard, and we do transfer every 4 years. And I've been really fortunate as far as where I've been stationed in my career. I mean, Boston, Miami, Atlanta, and now Dallas. So, I mean, there are a lot worse places you could go. So to be in four major cities and all the time that I've been in has been really good, really, really a worthwhile experience. So every time I do get the move, and especially when it falls into the favor, you know, my favor as far as where I want to go, it is an exciting time, you know, going to another city, rediscover some new things and, you know, meet new people and network more and more and more. You know, if I hadn't come back to Atlanta, who knows, you know, I wouldn't have met and rekindled relationships with old people, and who knows what's going to happen at the next stop. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. Absolutely.
Well, Dallas is cool. I like Dallas. I've been a couple of times, so. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. So just to reiterate to those women that are currently dating Manuel in Atlanta, do not start checking in for frequent flyer miles, because whatever he leaves in Atlanta in regards to his dating is going to stay there. So you single, boo-boo, y'all do what you want to do, because Manuel is about to leave the building.
Now, once mine, always mine. So if I decide to come back, then you just got to...
Oh, no,
I can't say that. Did I just?
This is Sparta!
So, wait a minute. Ooh, I don't even want to go there with you. So, I bet you have some females who go along with that, huh? That are just bad.
Hold on. Why does it have to be plural? Why does it have to be some females? You make sure you tag that S on the back of it. I don't got it like that. Like, come on, man.
Manuel, stop it. Stop the nonsense. Just stop it. We know that it's an S. That's why I pluralize it. So basically once you tap that, that's yours. You mark your territory like a dog peeing on a tree.
Yeah. No, I don't want it. That sounds so visceral. If it's mine, it's mine.
Okay, well, then that's a whole different thing. There's a lot of men believing that something is theirs. It's like, if you want to believe that, then, you know.
I might be totally delusional. they might be all thinking of my magnification and ego.
Exactly.
But hey, that's what it is. That is absolutely what it is.
But you know what? And here's the thing. If you want to be delusional, I fully support that. Just keep your delusion over there and we're good.
I know, right?
Okay, here's another thing. So remember we were supposed to have and those that are listening, you probably remember that I think I did post this young lady's something that she had posted on her page. She calls herself the dark skin activist. Yeah. So here's what happened. I brought it to your attention. I think I posted it and a lot of people like really went in on her ideology that she was expressing. And so I said, you know, it'd be interesting to have her on the show. So I went ahead and I contacted her and she was all for it. And, you know, I wanted to get some, you know, just some more information on her, a little promotional stuff, just to, you know, her background and so forth. And she was taking forever to get back to me with information. So I was kind of starting to get turned off. I'm like, ah, okay. Finally got it. She couldn't do the show on Sundays. And so I said, okay, well, go ahead and do it on, you know, Saturday. So basically we're good to go. And when I went to confirm, she's saying, oh, well, maybe, you know, I could do it for like 30 minutes. And so by that time I'm thinking, nah, you know, I'm good. And my last attempt to sort of try to work with her and maybe get her on the following Saturday, I sent her a message and I said, you know what, you know, 20 minutes, that's not really, you know, enough time. Let me know if you could do this following Saturday. Didn't hear back from her, I think, for a couple of days. When I finally did hear from her, it was this run-on sentence. There was no spacing, no commas, nothing, no capitalization, just a full run-on sentence that I had to pretty much try to decipher. Didn't really know what she was trying to say. And I'm thinking, wow, that's, you know, for one, that's unprofessional and that's just kind of crazy. So I just told her, I said, you know what, I couldn't really understand what this run-on sentence was saying. Never mind, we're good, God bless, da-da-da. And then she comes back and she's like, oh, I really wanted to see you, but she's talking about, you know, she came up with some excuse. I didn't even finish reading it before I deleted it. So anyway, we're not having her on, but I know you had some strong opinion about some of the things that she was expressing. And for those of you who don't know, her big thing is that she is all about uplifting the dark-skinned woman, which there's nothing wrong with that. But she's so extreme that she basically attributes coonery to any black man who dates a light-skinned woman. Although she says that she's not against light-skinned women, she demonizes any of the brothers who are dating or married to women who, I guess, don't fit her description of what dark-skinned is. So tell me, Brother Manuel, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I have two sides to it. I mean, you know, on the personal side, there was one point in my life before I was married, before anything, I did date at one point exclusively dark-skinned people. I did. That was my preference when I was probably in high school, a little bit younger than that. And then, of course, and I met somebody, and I fell in love with the person, and she was light-skinned, and it didn't make a difference. I understand when we have a leniency towards something for whatever reason. You know, I remember growing up, I grew up in the age where, you know, a lot were light-skinned, you know, in the 80s. We remember the 80s, especially in the 90s, you know, light skin was, you know, everything. And I kind of just sort of didn't understand that because I found, you know, dark-skinned women just as attractive. You know, I didn't have a preference, but, you know, I decided to choose, well, hey, I'm kind of, you know, I'm going to date, you know, dark-skinned women on purpose. I'm going to purposely seek that out. And then, of course, you know, you realize that you could be selling yourself short when you decide to categorize a group based on something as fickle as the pigmentation of your skin. Come on, the shade of this. I'm sorry, the shade. So that changed. You know, that's with maturity. My issue with her stance is that it is absolutely divisive in the black community. It is nothing short of that whatsoever. It is nothing short of what, you know, slave masters did when they would show favor to the light skin as opposed to the dark skin. So she's trying to reverse that trend. But you can't reverse that. You don't reverse a trend by going in the opposite direction. You reverse a trend by coming back to the middle, saying, "Hey, we're all equal here. There should be no favoritism. If we have personal preference based on what we see physically and that would appeal to our senses, that's fine. But to have an established preference based on anything political or social is the exact thing that turned us against one another." So it's the exact thing that happened in Rwanda, you know, when you had the dark skin and the light skin and the taller and the fairer and the wide nose and the slim nose. You had an entire group of people that were from the same group of people but that were divided over time. And then when white people left, these people went to war with each other because there was this embedded hatred that they all felt because, oh, yeah, when the white man was in charge, he gave you favor. But now the white man is gone. We're going to show you who runs things. Like, you have that, and so we don't need that. There's no place for that. There's no place for a lack of unification. I mean, other races have issues, I am sure, but I don't concern myself with the issues of other races. I really don't.
Right.
You know, amongst Italians, amongst Irish, you know, once an Italian, if you marry outside of Italians, you know, you're looked at a certain way. If you're Irish and you do something, I'm pretty sure there's something. Asian, whatever. But I don't concern myself with that. So it's not to say that it doesn't exist amongst other races. I just don't concern myself with it because it's not as personal. It doesn't hit home. But it does hit home for me with black people because we seem to be the least unified amongst all the races, and we're still such a minority. At the end of the day, at the end of it all, black people are viewed as black people, whether you're light-skinned, you're dark-skinned, you're whatever. And then you have everything else. Then you have white people. You know, those are two major. Those are two disparities. So eventually, white people will say, hey, I know you're Italian, and I know you're Russian, and I know I'm from England, and I'm English, and I know you're this, and I know you're that. But, hey, it's all right because we all white. Chris Rock said that. So they don't sit there and at least identify on that. Whereas black people are like, what are we doing?
Well, somebody had a... Right. And here's the thing, you know, and one reason why I wanted to have her on is because I'm able to, and I think people have to look at things objectively, and you have to look at things even though they go against your belief system, because that's how we grow. It challenges us to really understand why we believe as we do. And so I wanted to understand her mentality, and I get that colorism does exist in the black community. I get that it is a thing. It is an issue. It may be a bigger issue and, you know, demographically in certain places, but it does happen. And being in theater and acting, I know for a fact that it happens in the performing arts arena, and great lengths are being applied to change it. But a lot of times, you know, black women have been overlooked because of the color of their skin being darker and the lighter black women being chosen. We see it in videos and certain things. So the whole praising of the fair, you know, black woman, blah, 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 with the long hair, you know, it's a thing. And it's something that needs to be dealt with, and it needs to be eradicated. And there's heartbreaking stories of fair-skinned women who have been mistreated because of that, or who have felt put out because of their, you know. But her thing is that, you know, we're not talking about, woe is the light-skinned woman, because y'all been praised for too long. Her thing is, we want to equalize the dark-skinned woman. We want to put the dark-skinned woman where, in her mind, she sees the light-skinned women are played. You know, she wants that equalized. She wants, and the thing is like you said, preference. You can't force someone to see beauty where they don't want to see it. And absolutely, if you're a black, you know, if you're a black man, you're one of my brothers, and you're one of those guys, you're one of those ignorant black men who choose your women based on the color of their skin, you deserve what you get. It's going to be some crazy stuff, because beauty is within. It's the spirit of the person. That's what you should connect to. And you know, I understand the whole, you know, being attracted, but if you make it your intent that you can't even see the beauty of a darker skinned woman simply because of her skin color, but she could be stunning, you know, that's the ignorance that I'm talking about. But this chick, she goes beyond that. You know, the whole thing with Kendrick Lamar, who has a very fair-skinned woman. I don't know if she's mixed. I guess she's mixed, whatever. That's, you know, they were together, high school sweethearts. Her thing is that now everything that he's ever said, you know, to uplift and be black, you know, be conscious of our plight as black people, she basically says all that BS, he's a coon, you know, he all of it is false.
Yeah.
That to me, that right there to me, that's crazy because Martin Luther King's wife was very fair skinned, and
absolutely.
Malcolm X was mixed. And some people are throwing out this brother that was Black Panthers. I can't think of his name right now, but he's not really a good example because he had a lot of hatred against black women that he worked out later on before his death, and so we don't even want to bring him up. But some of our great leaders were married
absolutely.
To...
I mean, W.E.B. Du Bois. I mean, W.E.B. Du Bois talks about in many of his chronicles of his life how his siblings got by because they were fair-skinned. I mean, and he talks about the difficulty and the struggle with, you know, being fair-skinned and being and embracing your darker-skinned and then trying to identify with both. And it's not like they just get this ultimate free pass. They're actually somewhere in the middle with nobody to identify with if they can't pass completely one way or another. If you're too light-skinned, then we don't want you. But if they notice that you're not white, then they don't really want you. So then you're stuck in this limbo of a group of people that's not being able to identify with. So it's not fair to cast someone out and to offer, like, what are we doing? Like, why? What's the point?
Because her thing is, well, the dark-skinned woman has been cast out. So who cares what the pain of a light-skinned woman is? We're talking about the you know, dark-skinned woman. And that the black community as a whole needs to stop acting like it doesn't exist, and that black dark skinned black women are embraced.
But nobody says that. Nobody is willing to lie and say that there has not been an issue there. Nobody is willing to say that. However, you don't combat hate and discrimination.
Right.
And you don't fight it with the exact same because it doesn't change the dynamic.
Right,
so
you can't fight division with you can't fight division by being divisive. That's, you know.
Exactly.
And I'm like thinking, you know, my thing is like, okay, everybody is pretty much mixed at this point. So
absolutely, it's so hard.
I'm
talking
about
in America,
like, let's see, she is born in America. So I'm like, boo boo, come on, you. if you were born in America, please stop with all that. Because everybody, if you dig deep enough, you'll find something that is not black in your lineage. So, but yeah, that was her thing, and I really wanted to kind of give her an opportunity to share her thoughts. But after she added me as a friend, and I would see some of her posts come up in my thread. And she's really, you know, she's really foul. And I don't have a problem with her hearing this. She's been discussed on a few different platforms, and I believe that's her agenda is to at least be spoken about, even though it's not in the best light. And she's not an uneducated woman, but she's ignorant, you know, and has a lot of hurt. And she's open about that, you know, the things that caused her to feel the way that she feels. So, you know, I don't undermine anybody's pain, and she was mistreated and talked about, you know, based on her skin color. So I get all of that. But she's really, really foul mouthed. So I was kind of like, it probably is best that she didn't come on, because I don't know how that would have worked with you and I, and then her, you know, coming to the left, you know, might not have been too good. So.
It would have been fun, to say the least. I can guarantee. I would have made sure I was of sober mind, like absolute sober mind, like that. Yeah, you. I'm going to be on point. The new one's got to be firing.
Oh yeah. Because, you know, like I said, she's got her degree and you know, so she has the mental capacity to understand, but her understanding is very, very one-sided. And although I get her initial campaign, her delivery, and all of the divisiveness and hatred that's inbred in that, she loses a lot of people that way. You know, so I don't think that Kendrick Lamar, I don't think that his message should be now void because his girlfriend or fiance is not dark enough in her opinion. You know, I don't think that if it's not in his heart, if he truly did not seek her out because of her color and they just happened to fall in love and this is the woman who's been with him since high school, you know, that's a beautiful thing. You know, love is beautiful.
It is indeed. So. It is indeed. I want to get back to that initial question you dropped on the board.
Okay, let's get to that before we... So go ahead and answer that.
I would say this. Every man, I'm pretty sure, or a lot of men, I don't want to say every, but a lot of men have went through, and a lot of women have went through, so I don't want to make it about sex, but a lot of people have been transparent with somebody, whether it's a best friend, a parent, a loved one, you know, a significant other, you know, especially a significant other, because that's when you become transparent. That's when you have to actually give transparency. But our parents, some of our best friends, they already know the deepest and darkest things that can damage, you know, and if they choose to use that against us, you know, it strikes a chord. But when a significant other does it, it's because maybe they don't know, but perhaps you've given them that detail of your life, that thing. So, you know, let's just say you told them about an instance in your life that affected you a certain kind of way and something that you harbor. And then in a fit of rage or a fit of disgust or in a heated moment, they take that moment and throw it back in your face.
Mm-hmm.
That can be so destructive. And I would use this because we know just about one in three women have endured some sort of molestation, some sort of sexual assault or rape or whatever, one in three. And that's an extremely large amount. I mean, men need to take that. I mean, and I'm going to veer off just a tad bit. Men need to take that into consideration. One in three.
Mm.
And just think about that when we walk the streets and we say the things we say and we do the things we do. One in three have endured something that has been life-changing. So let's just take that into account. And let's just say you don't know this about a woman, and a woman explains to you, well, when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, whatever, 20, whatever, this happened to me. Somebody touched me. Somebody assaulted me. Somebody did X, Y, Z. Right? And let's just say some years pass by, and you as a man, you take this, you understand this. And at some point, for whatever reason, you take that moment and toss it back into your woman's face. I'm going to give you a hypothetical scenario. Some guy comes on to your woman. You find out about it. Your woman tells you about it. You take it the wrong way, and you're feeling a little insecure, so you toss that back in your woman's face. Well, the reason this happened to you when you were 16 is because you're this kind of woman, and that's why men come on to you and blah, blah, blah. Imagine how much that damages. You destroy transparency. You destroy that person that you love or that's in love with you or that you're in love with. You destroy that person bringing their most vulnerable moments to you when you take something and throw it back in their face. I won't say that it's impossible to recover from, but, man, I mean, that's bordering on infidelity almost because it takes so much out of the person.
That's such an ugly, ugly thing, and I know that.
It takes so much. It's heavy.
Because the thing is that, you know, when someone opens up their heart to you and you know, shares with you, you know, pain that they've gone through. It takes a lot to do that. You know, people don't go around sharing their intimate, you know, details of their life with just anyone.
Well,
so when someone so when someone entrusts you with information and you're all supportive and loving when they're telling you, and then it's, like you said, you know, you get into an argument and you throw that back in their face. I mean, that's a wound. I think that that is more devastating than most offenses that you can do in a relationship.
It can be
because
terrible.
Yeah, because when you reach in and destroy that trust, and they're and I can speak for women, when women feel like they can no longer trust you with their heart, if they feel like they can no longer be vulnerable with you and transparent with you, because women are communicators. We love to give our heart to the person that we're with. We love to articulate that in words. That's why we use more words than men. And when a man shows that he cannot be trusted with that and actually uses it as a weapon against her, I don't know. You got a lot. There's a lot of work that you'd have to do. Even if she's smiling and she's moved, you know, the arguments happen and she's still cooking you dinner, still giving you some sex, best and believe, trust me, that door for another man to enter in has now been kicked open, and you're the one who kicked it open. You kicked that door open for her to be open to someone else.
And then I would spin it the other way as well. Men, we know men, men are compartmentalized creatures. We have this thing in us that tells us that we shouldn't be vulnerable. We shouldn't, you know, tell you what our weaknesses are, what things have damaged us in our lifetimes. And so if a man gives a woman that deep, dark thing, that one thing that just challenges everything, and a woman chooses any moment, like, I would say it's more damaging when a woman does it to a man, because men already are not, listen, the men like to accuse women of being these emotional creatures who are not as logical as men, right? And I think that works against us and works for women and vice versa. Because I would say this, women deal with emotion better than men. So it's expected that, you know, men are supposed to kind of fly off the handle. They can't handle things as well because we were so controlled and we compartmentalized and we suppressed. So you have to understand that when a man brings you something, when he brings you something and it's been suppressed and hidden and it's deep and it's dark and you throw that back, you can be doing damage not only for yourself, but forget it working out with you. You can be doing damage for your children. You can be doing damage for future people. You know, let's say you guys don't work out. Because he will sit down and say, you know what, wow, I gave this woman the keys to the treasure chest, and guess what she did? She just dumped it on the bathroom floor. Like, you just don't do it. And I know in heated discussions, things come out, and people say things they don't mean, but you gotta be careful what your ammo is. Don't reach deep. Don't reach deep. Reach for the surface.
Yeah, you know, don't fight dirty. I think the biggest sign of maturity is when you get to a place where you stop fighting dirty. And it only happens with, I'm laughing at this comment that Charles Hill made on the thread. But anyway, hold on. When you get to that place of maturity that you realize that I could hurt this person, but you don't, you know, that's when you know that you're ready for a relationship. You know, people that are still fighting dirty, hitting below the belt, pulling out all the stops every time you get upset, you don't need to be in a relationship. You're not there, and you know, you're causing damage to people's souls and hearts. And it's such an ugly, ugly thing. And I think that's why so many people have issues with trust, men and women. You know, there's some foul women who've done it, and there's some foul men who've done it. And at the end of the day, you just got to say, you know what, stop stepping on the heart that people have entrusted to you, you know. treat them with care and love. So that's
absolutely. I mean, you're playing with fire in those particular situations. I would just recommend that people just don't do that. Don't take those weak, very transparent, because everybody claims they want transparency. Everybody
lies.
They want.
People are lying. If you really want it,
you have to know how to handle it.
Oh my goodness. Say that again. That was a very simple statement, but needs to say that again.
If you want transparency, you have to know how to handle it. Absolutely.
That's a beautiful thing, and that's a wonderful way to close tonight. Because
I had
I
give somebody some spice. I had a significant other tell me one time that I knew that this particular significant other had an interest in women, but she didn't feel that I could handle that information because, you know, I mean, I was such a jokester, would make fun of her, so she didn't feel that she can come to me and be open with me about it. And then later on, she felt that she could be. So, I mean, because she didn't believe I would handle that information. She thought that it would be something I'd laugh at, joke about, make fun of, poke fun at, whatever the case may be. You know, how you handle information, and your significant other is looking at everything that you take in or everything that you say and everything that you do over time, how you deal with other people, how you judge situations.
Yeah.
They're taking that all in, and they're saying, well, I don't know if I can take this to them because they might handle this a certain way, so I want to appear to be one thing when I'm not. So you have to learn that if you want transparency, you have to present yourself as to be somebody that they can deal with on a transparent level.
And that's so true, because if you're judging, if I see you judging, you know, everyone else or just being, a hypocrite and so forth, people are, you know, they're not going to be able to open up their innermost, you know, secret parts to someone like that, because they know, okay, this is going to turn back on me. You know, it may not be today, but, this person definitely won't be able to handle that information. And it's so important to be, if you're in a relationship, it's important to feel like you can be transparent and completely open, especially, I know it's big for women, and that's, you know, a lot of women stray because they're not getting that. And it's not to excuse their behavior, because that's not what I'm doing. But a lot of times that's a big component of why, you know, if they're going to get that, even if it's a fake understanding, some guy, you know, because there's a lot of men, you guys, you know how to play the game, you know, and if a man that will actually listen to a woman and have a good memory of what she's saying, and, you know, give her the support when she's talking, that's a man that will have a lot of women to choose from, because that is an element that women really, really thrive. You know, they want that. They're attracted to that. You know,
yeah.
So,
listen to them and feed them glasses of wine, fellas. That's it. While she's talking and just spilling out. You pour another glass of wine. Go ahead, baby. Say something else. Go ahead.
You have to be engaged. You know.
Oh, and
then
you have to be engaged.
She's gotta know if you just pretending because you want to get the booty later. So you acting like, oh yeah, baby, I'm hearing you. And she's like,
what did Chris Rock say during the conversation? What? Huh? No. You don't say, that bitch crazy. What? Huh? No, you don't say. And that's ridiculous. No, you don't want to play the game. However, you got to be engaged. But be engaged and have that bottle of wine on ice. Just one.
If you listen to her and you give her a safe place that she could come and express those thoughts and tell you what's on her mind and you don't judge her and you don't make her feel bad
girl.
About it, you can get that woman to do backflips for you.
Everything.
in the middle of the street. If she, you know, because that's that good stuff, you know, having a man like that. And some men have figured it out, and then other men are still fiddling their thumbs, talking about women are too difficult, and because you don't know, you you have to learn how women are, and once you take this, if you want a woman, if you don't, then it's not for you. But if you
this is what I would tell men. You know, if they are there when they have finally said, you know what, I'm gonna do what you tell me to do. And I listen, and that sounds simple. However, you have women come bucking. They're like wild horses, and they kind of just need to be broken a little bit, but not broken, beaten, but just kind of broken. Listen. Women are Mustangs. Y'all are wild beasts, and y'all just need
let me make this. Let me drop this because this will keep us all on track. And here, this is taking us all the way back to biblical principle. The older women teach the younger women. Older men teach the younger men. Men cannot teach you how a woman is. So all of you men, including my wonderful co-host who thinks he can school, you are a woman. You may have some initial insight and wisdom because you're an intelligent man, but don't take lessons on how to get a woman and how to keep a woman from a man. A woman has to tell you that.
And women need to
stop listening to other women on how
Absolutely.
To keep and get a man. That's why you don't have one, because you're listening to other females who still, we're not men. I'm not going to think like a man. I don't want to think like a man. I want to be 100% woman. You be 100% man. And if we come together with in unity and mutual respect for one another and love, then we can make it work. But don't, if you a man, you got a penis between your legs, you cannot tell somebody how to keep and get a woman
I think what we can do is, and there's two parts to that. Listen to me. Women can kind of sort of teach men, and women can teach women how to attract the opposite.
Yes.
Now I can't teach a man how to keep, because that's a dynamic that I don't even, I'm not sticking my hand in that. But how to attract, and that's what I mean by breaking. Like, you can attract that Mustang. That Mustang is kind of paying attention to you. But if you don't know how to maintain that Mustang and handle it, the Mustang gonna just say, you know what, I gotta go and graze this pasture. I gotta drink this water from this other river, because this dude don't know what he's doing over here. I mean, you're absolutely right.
Grown women who are grown, you know, I'm not talking about girls, but grown women, you have to be able to know how to handle her on an intellectual, emotional level.
Absolutely.
It's not about, so we're not talking about physically, go caveman on her, but you need to be able to handle all of the dynamics of why women are so beautiful and wonderful. And women need to be able to handle the dynamics of men as well. So, but yeah.
Absolutely.
Break me in, baby.
But you gotta break it. What I mean by breaking is, listen, I don't mean physically, I don't mean emotionally, I don't mean breaking a woman down. I'm talking about there is a craft, there is a patience that comes with dealing with women, and you just can't wing it out here. You can't just play the numbers game, because you're not going to come up with anything of quality. It's just not going to happen.
Exactly,
It takes patience, it takes a relationship, it takes some actual work. But like you were saying earlier, you have to be willing to listen, and you can't just be listening through some false prism. You got to be actually taking in. I mean, you can be one hell of a con artist, and that's only going to last for so long. But you have to be listening.
And listen, men, folk, you know you have a woman when all that stuff she's saying while y'all getting it on, she's saying it outside of the bedroom. If the only time she's telling you, oh, baby, it's yours, I'm all about you, is when you hitting and all, doing all that stuff. Don't listen to none of that. That's just sex talk.
Yeah,
people need to
know. That's what.
there's a big deal. And I know somebody's like, what? No, just because she's saying all that at that moment, that's a fit. That's, no. But with,
or the moment after. Or the moment after. Like the right after.
Yeah, the pillow talk right after.
Yeah, don't count that.
Yeah, listen to what she's saying when it has nothing to do with sex.
Absolutely.
Listen to all the stuff she's. Yes. And the same for men.
She ain't stigmatized. Absolutely.
Right, because all of that's hype, and then that's why so many you know people get their egos all boosted up, because they think, you know, they think, oh, I'm putting it down, she ain't never going, nah, baby, no, it's a hard thing, you got to know that you really have connected in the soul and the spirit. That's how you know you got somebody. Anyway, we went over time. Thank you, Manuel. Love you.
Absolutely, yes. I'll be back next weekend. I can't wait, baby.
All right. Thank you for listening. If you have not added us on Facebook, make sure you do that. Continue to spread the word and let other people know that they need to join in the conversation. We appreciate you listening. Have a good evening. Take care.